when you look at where we are and what's all around us, we would functionally have adult use marijuana in terms of easy access from neighboring states and communities. And with that access comes these externalities of public health and public safety. And to address those, you need resources. So I think that we want to control our own destiny. I think that we want to make sure that we have the proper resources to be able to put towards public health and public safety and intervention and public awareness. And the best way to do that is to do this ourselves and do it in a way that's responsible and do it in a way that we think is innovative on some fronts, and be able to make sure that we secure resources for public health and public safety.
So actually, what is going to happen? What's the game plan?
I can tell you what the proposal is, because what's going to happen is
what's the
a legislative process. But the proposal is to have adult use marijuana in a structure that is similar that you see in other states in terms of cultivators, processors, retailers, but to do it in a way that we think better safeguards public health and safety. So following after a model a little bit in terms of Washington, where they do not allow home growing and home cultivation. This state has a long and storied history when it comes to the home cultivation of marijuana plants, and it's something that the administration has been trying to address the last couple of years in the medical program, and we have seen the pitfalls of home cultivation in other states when it comes to how it threatens public health and public safety, how it promotes the illicit market, how it undercuts the regulated market, how it puts unsafe and untested and unregulated product out there for people, and how it also serves as cover for states that supposedly have adult use to be export states and export to the rest of the country. And we don't think that we should have that mechanism here. So what the proposal will have is a ban on all home cultivation outside of the medical program.
Outside, well, isn't that what we have
existing patients and caregivers. So in Massachusetts, any adult, whether a patient or a caregiver, can grow up to 6 plants.
Oh, okay.
It's the same in all the other states that have done adult use except for Washington. And when Washington was bringing this up their last legislative session, they actually looked to Rhode Island as a potential model for how to try to regulate it in terms of what we're doing on our medical side. And they said, you know what, even with what the best practices are in regulation for this, we still don't want to do it, and they kept status quo, and so they didn't implement it there.
So growers now under medical marijuana program, would they still be able to grow?
If you're a patient,
or a
caregiver who's growing right now, you would still be able to grow, provided you still maintain that caregiver registration and you meet a demonstration of need. So we will be putting in place some mechanisms to make sure that the growing that's happening in the medical program is really needed, because for all the reasons that I just said, that we don't want to have home cultivation in the adult use side when it's unregulated, or when you don't have the regulatory tools that are needed on the medical side, it causes the same issues. So, the administration has been trying to shift people from unregulated medicine over to regulated medicine as best we can the last 2 years, and we've been very successful. Caregiver registrations are down, the number of plant tags that we have are down as well, because people are taking advantage of new and regulated medicine that's been available from the compassion centers and supplied and manufactured from our cultivators. So we're just trying to make sure that all the medicine that's accessible is regulated.
So that's a big difference from Massachusetts and other states. In other words, you just won't be able to, if you want to grow a few plants in your backyard under this, you can't do it.
No.
Okay. That's big. So what else?
What else? The governor has been very, very clear in terms of concerns about high potency products.
Mm.
These are products that are upwards of 70, 80, 90, even 100% THC, which, as you know, is the substance that really is it causes impairment. And so what the governor has directed us to do is to create a regulatory structure where those high potency products are not available through adult use. We'd keep those over in the medical side for patients that really require those high doses and high potency products to treat their medical conditions. But the public health aspects of those products is really unknown. And the data that's been coming out with studies the last year or two since they've really become more commonplace in the market, you know, they don't show good things. They show usage rates that really mimic alcohol and tobacco abuse usage rates. There are public health aspects to the way you ingest those products that are, in some cases, are even worse than smoking. So, you know, as we get better health data around those products and how they're used, that's something that potentially could change. But we want to take a really cautious approach.
Okay. So that's another big one.
You should note that we are the only state in the country that would be limiting the potency.
Oh, cool.
Norm, would you say that this is going to be the strongest framework in the country?
We believe so. We give a lot of tools to the Department of Business Regulation and the new office within it that will be doing this to make sure that, you know, we're not falling behind the ball. As you know from coverage of this industry, it's constantly evolving. Every 2 or 3 months, there are new products out there that no one thought could be a delivery mechanism for marijuana before, and the business is doing new things. And there have been a lot of other states that have taken pretty, you know, entrenched approaches that haven't allowed the state to move with the market or move with public health and public safety data. And so we're trying to put together a regulatory structure that allows us to accommodate the market, the industry, but also the public health and public safety concerns.
So who grows, who gets to sell, how many stores, so-called stores?
So the same way that we put in place some updated licensing on medical side, we would be putting that in place on the adult use side, and really making the medical and adult use markets or the licensing structure mirror each other. So on both sides, you would have cultivators. On both sides, you'd have processors or manufacturers. On both sides, you would have, you know, retailers for adult use, and on the medical side, still call those compassion centers. And then, you know, we would give the department the ability to create additional licenses as needed to support the industry. So if we need a delivery license, if we need a secure transport license, if we need specific vendors to be able to service the industry and have protections to possess the plants, we want to make sure that we're giving the industry what they need to be successful and be stable. So there would be some discretion there based on the needs of the industry.
So is it the 3 dispensaries that we're looking at as retail centers, or are you thinking of others as well?
So we anticipate that the existing 3 dispensaries will be retail centers for adult use and continue to form both those functions. It's really important they continue to provide medical marijuana to the patients that are in the state. They're, you know, a good resource there. We anticipate having more licenses than just those 3, though, on the adult side. And one of the things that we want to do is make sure that there's the flexibility to meet market demand. So, you know, we'll be putting in place mechanisms for cities and towns to be able to either opt out entirely or to rule through zoning and permitting authority, you know, where these can be and certain limits there. And similar to what's in Massachusetts in place there, there will be a mechanism for a local referendum or a local vote if the town wants to completely ban any of these retail licenses.
So the DBR will have the licensing authority, but cities and towns, through their zoning laws, can decide where, if they're going to have stores located in the city or town, where they're located.
Yes. Local control is very important for us. It's been very important for us as we've implemented the cultivator license on the medical side. We've really said to cities and towns, you know, here's the information on how we're going to regulate these things. Let us be a resource for you, but we want you to be able to take the approach that you want locally that makes sense through zoning and permitting. So we're looking to repeat that structure here.
So how many stores do you think, based on your expertise?
You know,
are we looking at 20, 30, 100?
I think that it would be reasonable to think that we're looking anywhere between 20 and 40, but it really depends on the cities and towns. Obviously, major metropolitan parts of the state, Pawtucket, Providence, Cranston, Warwick, those areas, you know, if they allow through zoning and if they permit it, you could certainly have more than just other cities and towns that are in South County. But you know, our role here is to make sure that whatever the cities and towns decide locally, we have a robust licensing and regulatory structure in place so that these are good local citizens, these businesses, and that we're limiting as much as possible, you know, any of the negative effects that these businesses could have. And we're also providing cities and towns with resources. One of the other things that we're doing, which I don't believe any other state is doing, is the revenue sharing that we have in place for municipalities guarantees revenue to every city and town, whether they prohibit these licenses or not. And we feel that that's very important, because in a state like ours, which is relatively small, and right between one state that already has adult use and another state that's going to have one soon, they're going to be impacted by this industry and by this product no matter what. Just because a city or town says, we don't want to have retail dispensaries here, doesn't mean that they're not going to have some of the issues that may come from that, doesn't mean they don't deserve resources. Okay. So the revenue, the revenue sharing structure that we're proposing takes 20% of all the received tax revenue that the state receives and divides that among cities and towns, where every single city and town gets a quarter of that. Another quarter is dispersed based off of the number of licenses and the type of licenses the city or town has in place. And then the remainder of that, which is a half of that portion, is going to go based off of sales that are conducted from licensees in that town.
And Norm, I just want to pause you, because we're at 15% on the local share on this.
I think it's 15% of gross or 20% of net.
Yeah.
Sorry, yes.
There's that's two different ways. 20, it's the same thing there. As what you're thinking.
Equals 20% of net. So it's the same amount of money.
Yeah, yes. I just don't.
Yeah. Right. No. Thank you. It's
15% of gross revenue, 20% of the net revenue. Yeah.
So what are we thinking in terms of revenue?
Kevin, do you want to
so
go?
I guess before we, I do want Norm to walk you through how the tax and fee structure is going to work and how the money is being divided.
Yeah. And but, let me interrupt. Are you around tomorrow? Because I'm sure I'm going to have some follow-up questions.